talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. And we're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And we have a very exciting interview today in the second hour. I'm going to be interviewing a professor at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee who has developed an algorithm that redistricts, no matter what the data you put in, it can change the redistricting many times to suit different hypotheses. And it results in districts for the state assembly and the state senate that are even fairer than the districts proposed by Governor Evers' commission. Now, we know that the Senate bill that's in there now, that's now passed the assembly, is going to Evers and he'll veto it. The corrupt Wisconsin gerrymander redistricting is no good. Everybody knows that. And frankly, it's unconstitutional. But the only alternative that has been proposed so far has been proposed by Governor Evers and the commission, and there are several different maps that are proposed. They're much better. They're much better than the gerrymandered Republican legislature maps. But Professor Matt Petering is his name. Matt Petering of UWM has devised an algorithm that's far better than the ones used by the Evers Commission. And I'm hoping he's unveiling it today on Devil Radio. And I'm hoping people out there who are listening will listen to Professor Petering explain his algorithm and take a good look at it. Because this is the algorithm, frankly, that should be used if this goes to court. This, in all of the characteristics of redistricting, is the fairest, most compact, and most compliant with the Voting Rights Act in terms of empowering African Americans, Latinos, and so forth. And frankly, in terms of probability of election, it's not going to just hand it to the Democrats at all. In fact, under all of these maps, given what's gone on in politics in Wisconsin in the last 10 years, there might even be a slight advantage to the Republicans, but this one is far fairer than anything. If you're interested in redistricting, in the second hour, tune in on my interview with Professor Matt Petering of UWM. Okay, a lot to talk about today. One piece of good news in Texas. In Texas, Beto O'Rourke has announced that he is going to run for governor against Abbott. Governor Abbott, who is no good. He's a bad Republican governor, very, very bad Republican governor. He may have a primary. Some of the Republicans, as bad as he is, think he's not bad enough. They think he's not bad enough. Now, Beto O'Rourke has national exposure. He'll be able to raise national money. He certainly did when he ran for the Senate against Ted Cruz and came close. He came within a couple of percentage points. I know Texas is a tough state. If there were not voting restrictions in Texas, if there were not chicanery, skullduggery, and the voting, trying to suppress it in minority areas, some of the new laws that have come in to intimidate poll workers. If this were simply where everybody voted, Texas would never vote Republican again. They're holding on to the state. The Republicans are holding on to the state by the skin of their teeth. Even Trump only won it by the middle single digits, I think 6%, something of that nature, even with all these restrictions. So Beto O'Rourke, you know, he's a younger guy. He's aggressive. He knows he can raise money. And that will be one of the signature races in the upcoming election. And frankly, I hope he wins. Beto O'Rourke, you know, frankly, he looks the part. He looks angular and rugged. And you know, he's a common sense guy. He's a younger guy. He'd be a good Texas senator. I strike that, Texas governor. And they'd badly need it down there. I mean, some of these new voting laws that they've put in, they are going, you know, they've put two people in jail down there for voting already. One of them, a woman who went to the wrong precinct by accident and cast a vote, was told that she could cast a provisional vote, and it was not, her address was in another one, in jail. Another guy, one of the saddest ones, guy's picked up for burglary in the mid-90s, and he's given a hell of a long sentence, like, I don't know, 25 years. And he serves a lot of time. Okay, and he gets out, and he has a couple of years left on it. And Texas law is you cannot vote as long as you have even any of your parole time left unexpired. His parole expired in June of 2020. In April of 2020, he went down to the voting booth thinking he could vote, and he voted. There's still something like 7 weeks left on his parole. He'd been an exemplary parolee, no problems at all. He had a job, no problems at all. He's going to prison. In Texas, he's going to prison. The way that would be handled in Wisconsin, that would be deferred, a deferred prosecution. There would be an explanation that technically he should have waited 7 more weeks and avoided the April spring election. He'll get 5 years down there. And as a repeat offender, because he will be deemed a repeat offender, he may get more than 5 years. Now, why are they doing this? Do you think it's because that one vote somehow changed an election? No, it didn't change an election. That is a message in minority communities. You're better off not voting, because if you mess up, in even some technicality, really, you go to prison, that's the end of your life. You'll leave your family. You won't be able to see your spouse, your kids, lose your job, and you'll be put in one of the most brutal prison systems in the country for voting. And I'm not talking about deliberate fraud. I'm talking about inadvertent mistakes. And in some cases, people will go up and down the line, Republican thugs, and they'll say, do you have a criminal conviction? And people will leave the line. They'll leave the line. What they're not told is, if the criminal conviction is for a misdemeanor, doesn't make any difference. You can vote. Many people don't know the difference between a misdemeanor and a felony. If you walked up to the average person on the street, they wouldn't know it. Some of them. Technically, a misdemeanor is anything punishable by a year in jail or less. Felony is anything punishable by more than a year. That's very rough. It doesn't really cover the landscape. It's very, very rough. But a misdemeanor is not as serious as a felony in terms of disabling you going forward. A lot of people in that line, some of them might have a drunk driving conviction. Now, in some states, and I think we're one of the last, first offense drunk driving wasn't even a criminal conviction. Somebody may have a speeding ticket. They don't know. And there's a scary looking guy there, off duty cop. They leave the line. You see, that goes on. They shouldn't be permitted to do that in the line. In Wisconsin, you can't politic, you can't campaign within 500 feet of the polls. A football field is 300 feet, so you add 2/3 of another football field. So you're not going to have lawn signs and people with buttons going up to you and saying, vote for my guy. But all of this is very sneaky and feline. It's done as sort of voter protection, not voter attack, voter protection. So Beto O'Rourke is going to run into a lot of this stuff down there. But if he ever got in, had the veto power, on redistricting and a lot of other things, increasingly, that state is becoming Democratic. They would not have a veto-proof majority in the legislature. and he would tame the Wild West is what he would do. So if you get a solicitation for Beto O'Rourke, think about it. Worth contributing to. Very, very good thing. Beto O'Rourke. Well, there was a car bomb in Liverpool, where the Beatles are from, yesterday. Jihadist. Name was Imad Al-Suleiman. The cab driver realized what he was doing. A guy named David Perry hit the locks on the back door so the guy would be trapped and jumped out of the cab. David Perry was badly injured, but Imad Al-Suleiman was killed. They arrested four of his buddies under the Terrorism Act. A month ago in October, a member of parliament was stabbed at a town hall. Guy walks up to him, guy from Somalia, and said, well, how can I help you? And he pulled out a knife and buried it in his chest. These kind of lone wolf jihads have got to stop. That's got to be taken into account in our immigration. Unassimilable. It's a direct attack on our form of government. We're going to a break. Lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.